We are meeting today in a pail of gloom, enveloped by darkness, anguish, despair, despondency, a psyche of fear, sorrow, pain, and an unprecedented sense of rage as to what was afflicted onto the city between November 26 and 29, 2008. We have assembled here to pay homage to the martyrs of this carnage, people who laid down their lives so that we can live, and to those countless number of warriors who, thanks to the providence, despite taking their own lives, have survived to count for us the stories of heroism, courage, conviction, and patriotism. We have assembled today to greet, felicitate, and honor all these extraordinary citizens of this great city of ours. This city of ours has witnessed a carnage never before seen in the history of this country. It will definitely take a long time for the wounds to heal. But the resilience of the city, the vibrance of the city is such that this city will soon come of age. It will leave behind the past. It will come out of the shadow of the fear that seems to have gripped the city and shall come back stronger than what it was before. Its citizenry shall certainly rise. The gateway of India shall become more formidable than what it was before, and certainly not impregnable. To that stage it will come. And more importantly, the city will continue to be a center of commerce and prosperity. There is an outpouring of emotion and gratitude and thanksgiving when it comes to all those people who served the city in the hour of need, those 60 hours when the catastrophe began. Of that faceless people who shy away from publicity and the media, of the Marine Commandos, the Special Protection Force, men in uniform from the Central Armed Units who glazed, who sparkled in that hour of glory when time came for them to discharge their duty. The professional perfection with which they went about their duty was a lesson for all of us to learn. Of our own police force, which provided terrestrial and support services, logistics, so that these men in action who had gone straight into combating the terrorists, it lost 14 of its men in uniform fighting terrorism. We bow in homage to these departed policemen who laid their lives for all of us. And of the invisible heroes, the less known heroes are men of the Mumbai Fire Brigade. 300 of them were put into the line so that the monuments of the city are protected, not only for us, but for posterity. And more importantly, the inferno, the carnage that came out of the fire, which came from the detonation, were put down so that people who were holed inside those hotels would not have choked to death. At the cost of their own lives, they used all the armory at their command, be it the snorkels, the water pipes, and put it down, which was there for all of us to see. It is this heroism that we are worshipping today. Besides all these things are these extraordinarily ordinary men, this unknown human face in this crowd of several millions of the city, unseen, unsung, unworshipped, who merge into the millennium without identification. Men who rose to the occasion, which included those employees of the two hotels which are subject to the terrorist attack. They went beyond the call of duty. They staked their lives so that the guests who had come into the hotel could be saved. More importantly, they ensured not only the safety of men in uniform inside, but also of their guests. Of the several guests who were held inside the hotel, their outstanding acts of bravery to their fellow guests who came within the volley of fire of the terrorists, they, unmindful of the risk that they were taking, went about trying to save all of them. And of those common people in the Chhatrapati Shivaji terminus, be it the tea vendor, the parcel agent, be it the khaki men in uniform inside the station, or the ticket examiners, or the Safai Karmachari Union workers, some of them lost their lives also. I can go on, all these ordinary people. The rear guard action that was given in Chhatrapati Shivaji terminus was to be seen to be believed. If there is one single act of heroism which needs to be written in letters of gold, it is what was done in the VT railway station. If only that rear guard action had not come at the nick of time, the terrorists would have gone amok and this city would have witnessed a carnage never before seen, not only in the history of this country, but in the history of this world. If so many of them, the commuters, were saved, it is thanks to the inspiring work that was done by these people in the VT railway station. With gratitude and reverence, we remember them as we hold this meeting today. We bow our head for all these outstanding people. But for them, today's program itself would not have been possible. And you and I would not be sitting to witness such an event. These institutions of ours, the South Indian Education Society and the Sri Shanmukananda Fine Arts and Sangeet Sabha, have always been known for honoring, felicitating unseen, unsung heroes and heroines, not only of the city, but elsewhere in the country. It is not for the first time that we have a function like this to honor and felicitate men of bravery and courage. When the torrential rains came onto the city and the deluge that followed devoured the city to an extent that life was paralyzed and several lives were lost, there were extraordinary acts of humankind that were seen during those days on the 26th. These men and women, to be precise, 26 of them, were honored at a solemn function in the Sabha immediately after the ravage of the flood. When that catastrophe of 11th of July, the 7/11 as it was being later addressed, came, the triple bomb effect, the 7 serial bombs that almost brought the lifeline of the city, the suburban railway system, to a complete halt. Not only that, it devoured 183 human beings and 700 people were left injured. That terrible Tuesday night, that long, dreary night, saw outstanding acts of courage, of exceptional human endeavor never seen, of men and women who had gone out into the open trying to save people who were lost in the carnage of those streams. These people were also honored by the Sabha at a function on the 15th of August 2006. So what is being done today is only a continuum of this journey that we have started many years before. The most beautiful things in the world can never be seen but must be experienced. There are several lessons that we learn from history. The greatest tragedy with history is that we don't learn the lessons. We know them at the point of time when it is being told to us, and thereafter it goes out of our memory. But this particular carnage has given us several lessons. But the one that comes out so easily, apparently, so brazenly and nakedly, is the fact that if the youth of this world were to go astray, the globe will only be befallen with catastrophe. All these terrorists were between the age group of 20 to 28. In the name of jihad, their poverty was exploited. The soul in them was suppressed, and the animal instinct in them was woken up and brought to its full fore. And what came as a consequence was there for all of us to see. Lord Tennyson says, "In ancient shadows and twilight, where childhood had stayed, sorrows made and heroes born, in the lost boyhood of Judas, Christ was betrayed." Christ was not betrayed by Judas. It was the wasted boyhood of Judas that killed Christ. This country of ours has about 60% of the population below the age of 30. The destiny of this nation is not in the hands of all of us who have gone beyond our prime. It is into the safe hands of these youngsters who will have to steer this nation to greater heights in the years to come. And if we have to free this globe from this menace of terrorism, friends, we represent 1/7 of the world. Every single person out of the 7 persons on the globe is an Indian. And if we were to rid this nation of terrorism, 14% of the global population would be free from terrorism. And if you take into account China, which is a more populous state than India, which is practically free from these difficulties of terrorism, 5 out of 14 of this world will never even experience, the future generations will not even know what terrorism is all about. And if that were to be achieved, and more importantly, greater parts of Europe have always been insulated from terrorism. That leaves only the central part of Asia, some parts of USSR, larger portions of Africa. It will not be difficult for the globe to attack and nip terrorism at its butt there. But the starting point for all that is the populous nation called as India, which represents 1/7 of the globe. It is only the conviction, it is only the determination of this youth of this country that can go about making a difference. These 8,000 kilometers of land geography, the boundary that this country has got, 4,000 kilometers of porous coastal line, is too vast for any country to be defended. Unless our people are vigilant, our coast and our land are easy for penetration. Memory is still ripe. History has not been forgotten, at least in this case, that the Harappans of the Harappa Mohenjo-daro lineage, from where we all come, it is our lineage, they could not defend the borders of this country. And therefore, what befell us was years of subjugation of foreign rule and yoke. Men and women from various parts of the globe came onto this country and looted this country. We were subjected to subjugation of an order which we never would realize. Great sacrifices were made to get freedom for this country. The greatest task that we have is to preserve the freedom of this country. And that task can be achieved only when we combat terrorism at its bud and ensure that this country is free from these acts of tragedy that befall humankind quite often in life. Am lahe tufa se kisti nikal ke, is desh ko rakna mere bachcho sambhal ke. We have brought freedom literally from the storm of the sea and anchored it to shores of safety. It is into your hands, you children, that we have vested not only this country, but the freedom and the destiny of this country. That is the role that has been cast upon the youngsters of this country. And therefore, an event like this is a lesson for all of us, that our youngsters will have to come of age and take on the mantle and ensure that this country is safe. We are aware of the fact that so soon after an incident, in just 7 days after this carnage had come onto the city, that we have a function to felicitate and honor men. Most of the men in uniform are still in hospitals, recuperating from the injuries that were inflicted on them. Most of the ordinary people in the hotels are also still in the hospitals. Most of them could not make it. So the question is, what is that hurry that we have to have a function like this? Human memory is indeed fickle, and more importantly, it is treacherous. Soon these people will go out of the radar of visibility and slip into the routine that they would not be visible to all of us. We therefore thought that it is necessary that we honor them. In honoring them, we are honoring ourselves. And more importantly, there is an occasion to showcase the great qualities in them which need to be imbibed by the youngsters of today, so that these people can take on all these facts as they take the nation forward. We are aware of the fact that acts of bravery cannot be reduced to an object of felicitation or honor. They are much, much beyond that. History is replete with fact that no one has ever been honored for what he had. It is essentially for what he gave. It is one thing to deserve an honor and not have it, and it is second thing to have it and not deserve it. Dignity lies in not possessing an honor, but deserving an honor. Each one of these gentlemen who are going to be felicitated, honored, and our debt of gratitude is going to be given to them, fully deserve this honor. It is the like of these people who always would say, I have but one life to lose for the rest of the world. they would like to have many more lives so that they can lose it for the rest of the world. Martin Luther King Jr. once made this historic comment when he said, if you do not discover a cause for which you will die for, then it is worth not living. At least these heroes have given us a cause to die for, the war against terrorism. Therefore, we should be eternally grateful to them that they have inspired us to tell us the ugly face of terrorism, and therefore we should work no less than what they have done in recent times. Pope John Paul VI says, honor and shame from no condition arise. Act well your part, therein the honor lies. All these gentlemen acted their part very well. And that is the reason why they have become objects of adulation, objects of reverence, regard and gratitude of all of us. The greatest Shraddhanjali that we can pay to them is just not to give them the certificates or drape them with shawls or remember them on one day or give them the Salami Shastra or stand in silence for a minute for those who have departed. The greatest Shraddhanjali that we can give to them is to slip this event behind, put it back into pages of history, forget it as soon as you can and move forward in life. I am not for a moment suggesting that you containerize it. Draw lessons from all that had happened. Use all those lessons as you go forward in life. But do not have this spectre of fear that is haunting you, that we will live with this fear for long. Chodo kalki baate, kalki baat purani, naya dor hai, nayi umang hai, ab likhe nahi kahani, am Hindustani, am Hindustani. Let us script a new history for this nation and hand it over to our youngsters. May the good Lord shed His grace on all these heroes of today. Jivet Sharatashatam, may they live 100 years so that they will continue to inspire succeeding generations of Indians to emulate them, follow them. May the good Lord in His mercy grant us the wisdom to have this serenity, draw a leaf out of the lives of these people, and make our own life sublime. Thank you and God bless you all.